kids and the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas.
Yours, mine, theirs.
Hi, everybody, I'm John, and this is Yours, Mine, and Theirs. It's Yours, Mine, and Theirs. Yours, Mine, and Theirs, oh. Yours, Mine, and Theirs. Who's here?
Hey, this is Roy. And, you know, John, during these movies, I've seen a lot of changing. And if Adolf Kramer can change, and Joe Carruthers can change, and Ebenezer Screw can change, everybody can change!
That's a great Christmas theme this year, huh? That's perfect. I like it. That's what Christmas is about this year on Yours, Mine, and Theirs. It's change! We're going to be talking about the movies Heidi and Ernest Saves Christmas and The Muppet Christmas Carol. And it's going to be fun. Also, it's just the two of us because it's the year end, and really why everybody's tuning in is our year end review and awards. But also, it's Christmas. But also, this is the third or fourth year we've done this, and so we're kind of hitting the end of Christmas movies somehow. As I said, our Christmas movies.
Returns?
Yeah, we got Heidi, Ernest Saves Christmas, and The Muppet Christmas Carol, which is a big classic, of course. Ernest Saves Christmas is not a classic. It was kind of reviled in its own time, but I think there's some redeeming stuff about it. Its power to annoy is something I respect. We'll get to that. Of course, Shirley Temple, The Power of the Curls. But these aren't the big three Christmas movies, but they're three Christmas movies that I'm unfamiliar with. That was really fun. Speaking of Christmas.
You hadn't seen any of these?
Well, I saw Ernest Saves Christmas. I'm pretty sure I saw Ernest Saves Christmas with you in the theater. I feel like I remember that. I remember a couple lines, but pretty much 96% of that movie I just had no recollection of in the slightest.
So you had never seen Heidi though, right?
No. This is my first Temple. Yeah.
Oh, me? So this is the only Shirley Temple film I've ever seen.
Okay. And you love this movie. I'm surprised you didn't go down a Shirley Temple rabbit hole in your past.
Well, so I'm worried. Like, what if this is her best movie and then it just is like... It's awful. I don't know. I'm content to cherish this one. But anyway, we'll get there. Yeah,
we'll get there. Mm-hmm. Okay. How is Christmas going? Is it okay? It's actually snowing here for the first time like this year.
Good for you guys.
Actually feels pretty good. I got your gift in the mail. You might have to send me your address so I can send you a token gift because you always do that.
the repentance gift.
Yeah. I don't have any Christmas lights up. I don't have a tree up. I've done a little bit of shopping, but for the most part, Katie actually bought me the Charlie Brown Christmas on record, and we listened to that. So that was fun.
Oh,
so it's starting, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get all my Christmas stuff done as usual. Is it going okay for you though?
It is. So we had a 40% chance of snow Wednesday morning, and it didn't materialize. But it's been pretty cold. So Virginia's weird, right? Like, we have really wet springs, and then we have hurricane season that lasts through, like, October into November. But our winters are just so dry. So we just have really dry, cold winters here. It's been in the 20s, but nothing pretty to show for it. But Christmas shopping's done. Val likes to get that stuff done way ahead of time. And also, we're spending Christmas in Ohio, so we kind of had to get stuff shipped early. We have three Christmas trees for the first time, and the biggest one's in our bedroom because we have a ginormous bedroom that's got, like, this vaulted ceiling alcove, and so we decided to fill it with a 10-foot tree. And I think next year when we actually do Christmas here at this house, we're going to, that's going to be the tree. So when the kids are ready to open up the presents, Barry and I can just stay in bed.
Oh, that's a good plan.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, well, it sounds like Christmas is already over. Sorry to hear it.
So we've already had some eggnog. So I don't know if Phil listens to this podcast, but tip of the hat to Phil. I ordered specially some Cadbury drinking chocolate from Amazon, and it's got the Arabic writing on the back, so that's how I know it's legit British Cadbury drinking chocolate. I'm the only one in my family who likes it. We have had some eggnog and some cider, and I think that we will replenish next week. But, I mean, everything's going pretty well.
Okay. Well, that's lovely.
I'm going to be a grandpa. Did we know that in the last podcast?
We knew it in Star Trek. We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it in the Star Trek podcast, but I knew in Star Trek podcast. I meant to bring it up, so I'm glad you're bringing it up. You're a grandfather.
I will be soon, yeah.
Yeah, well, your grandfather, you know, with your daughter and your daughter-in-law. So,
yes.
Right? So I don't know if you want to, like, what are the
sure. You're having a hard time asking. So, my daughter-in-law is the one that's pregnant.
And yeah. Okay.
They just found like a sperm donor. So like my daughter, like her body thinks that she's pregnant 100% of the time. So she could never like ovulate, which is kind of breaks her heart a little bit because she wanted to be the one to have the baby. But anyway, so her wife is having the baby and she's been pregnant for a couple months. They still don't know the gender. It'll be due in June. But I'm really excited, so I get to be a grandpa! Yay! I'm actually way more excited than I thought I would be. So,
I guess I wouldn't have thought you'd be way more excited, but I guess I kind of understand. You know, as a childless person, I guess I can kind of see. Because one reason I never had any kids. I mean, the second biggest reason. The first biggest reason is. It takes two people to have kids. but the second biggest reason is I know my anxiety is not conducive to raising children and bringing them upright in the world and making sure they don't turn into monsters, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But I can kind of see now that anxiety for you is probably kind of over with the grandchildren. You just get the fun of the grandchildren. You know?
That's the theory. So yeah. We'll see. I knew that eventually a grandkid was coming because I got a couple boys who hopefully will get married the next 5 years or so. And I don't know. I'm just really excited they came over and they announced it. And so a little early Christmas present, and I have a lovely shirt that says I'm the best dad, grandfather in the galaxy, which probably isn't true. I mean, look at what's his head? You know. Darth Vader, he's a pretty good grandfather if you're talking Kylo Ren, so
yeah, anyway. I guess he kind of turned out sort of you're almost as good as Darth Vader. Doesn't that make you feel better?
I will be 45 when the baby is born, which feels pretty young to me. But I do have plenty of gray hair, and my beard is, the jowls are almost all gray, all the dark hair is on the chin. So, getting older. And I have a bald spot, which I only learned about recently. So, anyway, whatever.
You know, so if it's one you haven't learned about, it's in the back of your head. That's something that might be treated. Because it's like, that's the bald in the back of your head, I think that's what Rogaine cover, like, helps with. So you might be able to do something about that. I can never do anything about my bald because I start in the front.
The front. Well, I've just been using a dry erase marker, but I mean, maybe we'll see. So I'm growing out my hair pretty long. I kind of am going for the Keanu.
Nice.
I'm hoping to have the Keanu, but I'm afraid that the Keanu will look pathetic with a bald spot in the back. So we'll see. I think I'm shooting for the Keanu, and I'm going to look more like the janitor Filch from the Harry Potter movies. So
no, that's exactly what I look like because you know I haven't cut my hair since the pandemic started. You know,
good for you. Yeah,
and so I have like I have super long hair, but I'm also super bald, and so I kind of have like the Berkeley professor look that I always kind of wanted to have.
It looks good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Christmas. Should we talk movies?
Yeah, let's talk about some movies.
Heidi.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk about why I feel guilty about Heidi.
Oh, yeah. Start it up.
I have like a non-interference clause with the polls, but I totally engineered Heidi winning. Like I totally like individually texted some people saying, please help me out here.
Because you love the movie Heidi that much.
And because we were going to watch some other crappy movies instead. And I wanted to watch at least one classic, right? And I saw that Heidi was kind of in the mix, and it felt like maybe one or two votes. So I personally appealed to Ammon, and he seemed willing. Maybe he's seen Heidi, I don't know. But then I got my brother Josh to vote for it, and he said, I hope you're happy because Heidi looks like the worst movie ever. So so Josh did it out of pure brotherly love. So well, I apologize. I'll repent in the new year, and I'll once again go back to not interfering. By the way, the category that we're going to be watching with Katie, I was going to engineer that one too, but I decided hands off. So,
well, you've opened up Pandora's box.
No, I'm done. I won't do it again.
This is when society collapses. Haven't you learned anything, you know, about the past few years about how much of the way we're governed is really just, you know, it's just being polite? And just a polite obeyance of, you know, the kind of vague laws that we have, and so Pandora's box is opened. We're going to be open to all sorts of corruption from now on. So way to open up 2022. Here's my advice.
If I had my way, I would force you, John, to like vote in the polls as soon as they post. But you know, you're going to keep doing your thing. So
yeah. I do my thing. I usually don't vote in the polls because I have so much power with my, you know, every month I get just my own movie to watch, and so yeah. I'm like, I don't want to abuse this.
So I see that, and I do feel like I want to get a campaign started, so I'll vote for a film, but I appreciate that for the Christmas movies, and I almost withdrew all of my Christmas votes. Because that's supposed to be pure fan-driven, right? So yes. Next year I'll be completely hands-off that, but I'll probably still...
This is a case of our children asking for just something really dumb, like a scooter with the small wheels that's not motorized or something.
Yeah.
You know? And we're just like, we know better about what you'll appreciate. And so we give them a different gift.
I think maybe in the future I will only vote on the polls where I don't get to pick one of the movies. Then I'll consider myself part of the theirs.
Okay. Well, nothing matters, so don't worry about it.
Nothing matters.
Heidi.
Except for Heidi.
Yeah, it's a movie, and they're in Germany or Switzerland or somewhere.
Switzerland.
Is it Switzerland? Okay.
Dorfli, Switzerland, yep.
They have a bunch of German names. Such as Adolf Kramer.
This is maybe 2 years before it stopped being okay to name anyone Adolf ever again, right?
Yeah, 1937, everyone's like, because people are still named, you know, like Donald these days, but
yeah,
Adolf is not like the most popular name 10 years later, but that's fine, yeah. he's an old man. Anyway, Adolf Kramer is visited by just some crazy woman, and she's like, I am sick of this granddaughter. From what I can tell, she was so sick of her because she was so cute, she couldn't stand the cuteness overload. It's like, I can't stand this cuteness anymore, you have to raise this person. He's like, I'm a gruff man, but after like 10 minutes, he's just like, okay, you know what, Adelheid, you're great, you're my granddaughter, because yeah. She's his granddaughter from the son, yes. That he doesn't get along with, and you know, so it's granddad. And anyway, she sleeps in hay, and she's cool with it, and she sits on the floor, and she's cool with it. But, you know, grandfather, he's gruff, he's grizzled, but his heart melts with Shirley Temple's curls, and he makes her a chair, he makes her a bed, he does all this stuff. And then, what's her name? The crazy woman comes back, and she kidnaps Heidi, and she's like...
On Heidi's birthday, right?
Yeah, it was on Heidi's birthday. She's getting presents and stuff.
Is it Heidi's birthday or the grandfather's birthday? I think it's Heidi's birthday.
I think it might be Heidi's birthday, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she kidnaps her so that she can live with this nice girl who's also very spoiled but also can't walk at all. Yeah. And then her parents, and she's... And, okay, I think I missed something really major here, because I don't know why... Like, what was in it for the woman, and what was, like, she's just like, okay, Clara, the crippled girl, who's just, you know, who's spoiled, she needs someone to play with, and so she kidnaps Heidi. Does she get any money for doing that, or...
Well, Claire didn't kidnap her, right?
So, yeah.
Am I looking at the right... Okay, yeah. So, I think what it is Rottenmeier was charged with finding a playmate for Heidi, right? And so, it is going to get a little weird, where the father's like, oh, you were kidnapped? Well, you're not leaving. But, But, so, I think Dee Dee was paid by Rottenmeier, right?
Right, like, that's it. Aunt Dee Dee. Aunt Dee Dee is Heidi's aunt who gave her up at the front. And then Rottenmeier is like, oh, you know of a little girl somewhere in Switzerland, 100 miles away? I'll pay you to go get her back. So that's the plan? That was the big master plan of Rottenmeier. Her name is Rottenmeier.
Yeah.
Her big master plan is like, okay, you've heard of a girl, you brought a girl to the grandpa, and you hate her, and you gave her up, and you were so anxious to get rid of her, that I'll pay you to bring her back to this town so she can play with this girl, so this girl can have someone to lure that creepy doll she gets for Christmas over.
Are you kind of glad that the doll gets destroyed?
Okay, yeah, and by the way, the creepy doll gets destroyed to everyone's relief, because that doll would have destroyed us all.
Yeah, would have destroyed. It's a murder doll, for sure.
It's a murder doll. Yeah, it's a total murder doll. Grandpa, he walks 100 miles to the next town, and he just yells, Heidi, Heidi, where are you? And then he finds her, and then they escape in a sleigh, and then they all converge back on Grandpa's town. And all the characters, you know, some of the people we didn't talk about, like some of the people at church that Grandpa met, that, you know, he's not really into church, but, you know, he goes for Heidi, and, you know, they were like, and they were fond of Heidi and everything in that town. And so, like, the pastor and, you know, the girl who marries the pastor and Grandpa and Heidi, and I think Clara and her father all eat Christmas dinner in the grandfather's, like, woodsy house, because he's like this mountain man.
And there's no more snow, so I don't know I don't think it's Christmas dinner anymore. But yeah, it's weird. So, by the way, Dorfleet and Frankfurt are more like 300 miles apart. So the grandfather's got a heck of a walk ahead of him. And then he gets to Frankfurt, which is not like a little hamlet, right? Like, Frankfurt's a major city, and his tactic is to just walk around the streets yelling Heidi's name. Fortunately, he pulls a Star Trek, right, where he lands on the 1 square kilometer of the planet that the important thing happens on. So it works out. But
the kidnapped child district, you know, all the houses there, just kind of that's the thing.
By the way, Heidi helps Clara learn to walk. It's a miracle, and her father, Herr Sessemann, is so delighted and impressed with Heidi that he tells her she can never leave. Right? After Heidi's made it very clear that she's there against her will. But anyway, all's well that ends well, I guess. They have a good time in Christmas dinner.
One person who does not go to jail, Herr Sessemann.
Yeah,
right?
he doesn't go to jail. Yeah. So we got to ask some questions. So Adolf Kramer, right? He changes in his regard to Heidi, but also kind of in his regard to everyone else. And there's the moment where he reads the prodigal son story with Heidi, right? And it's one of those situations, right, where he's driven his son away, but it sounds like he misses his son, right? Like, he wishes he could repair that relationship. That's what I'm getting with why they read the story. Either way, what he does have left from his son is Heidi, and there she is. And so he comes back to church. Yay, good for him. But it's not just so much coming back to church. It's reconnecting with the town, and hopefully they'll stop the rumors going around town that he likes to cut people's heads off, because that was explicitly told to Heidi. That he's a decapitator. But so
he probably stopped decapitating once he met Heidi. We don't know for sure he wasn't decapitating people all the time.
Well, no, I think he probably was. There's a good chance. So the question I have for you about this movie, which determines whether or not this movie is awful or great, is Shirley Temple, right? It's all about Shirley Temple, who, by the way, looks straight at us at the end of the film. That's the final shot. She just looks straight at us. So either she's adorable or she's one of those awful sugary child actors, right, where it's just like poured on and it's too much. And so, but I like in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, like that kid at the end, right? I'm in the camp that like, I think she's just absolutely adorable. Anyway, she wins over my heart in this movie as well.
Well, okay. She's awful sugary sweetness. She is. But she's adorable. I mean,
she is. Yeah.
It's something you can't really explain, because she looks like Shirley Temple. Like, I've seen, you know, stock footage of Shirley Temple, and I know who she is, and I know she's supposed to be the cutest thing in a decade, you know, during the Depression or whatever. And she was like cuter and sugarier and sweeter than I thought she would be. But at the same time, there's just some indescribable quality to her that's like, even though that seems really phony and fake, those things, if someone else did it, it wouldn't work, but it works with her. You believe that she's cute.
No, exactly, and that's it, right? That it's not like, well, okay, here she is, and she's acting cute. I mean, she is. She's cute, but it feels like this is just how this girl is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're filming it, and they captured it, and she's...
Especially
she's
when she's mauled by animals.
Especially when she's mauled by the goat, right?
Yeah.
So she does have a run-in with a goat, which is unfortunate, but she later develops a serious relationship with Burley and Swanley. Are her two warm goats.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because I thought she was going to develop some kind of relationship with the goat kid, you know.
Peter?
Yeah, just her friend, you know. But she gets kidnapped long before she can make friends with the kid hanging out with the goat. Good for her. I mean, I think in every situation she exudes the cuteness that we need for Christmas.
Yeah, and she's like, she's kind of unflappable, right? Like, she's thrown into this situation with the murder grandfather, and he won't talk to her, and he doesn't give her a chair. She has to sit on the floor, and she has to sleep on straw, and she doesn't get a blanket, right? Uh-huh. And she's like, and like at every step, it's like, oh, well, I'll make a lovely bed here on the straw, and like, no blanket? Oh, that's okay. I'll be warm in the straw, right? Like, she handles everything with a large amount of aplomb. So good for her. So this is kind of one of her later films, maybe, because she's 8 in this movie, and I know that she started when she was like 5.
Okay.
Like, she was an accomplished singer dancer at the age of 5, and they do mix in that one number in this film, right? The wooden shoes number. But that's really the extent of her dancing in this film.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm just looking. Yeah. She. Well, they. There's. Wasn't there's a wooden shoe that kind of is strange, because there's a fantasy sequence where she just imagines she's Dutch.
Yep.
Is that what it is? And then she also imagines she's Marie Antoinette.
Yes, that's right. She has that dream sequence with the fancy boy, right? Where she's the queen with the big wig. Yeah.
Which I guess is fine. I mean, is that just a weird thing about movies back then? It's like, okay, let's just have a sequence. We need an excuse to have, like, a song and dance, and so she's just dreaming about this thing that has no bearing on the themes of the movie at all. She's just, since she's dreaming, it's like, we're going to do a different movie during the sequence, you know?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Do you feel, because the movie's not long, do you feel like it's padding? They just needed something, or
maybe it's padding. But you know, I guess a lot of times, you know, the padding is the best. But you know, because it's like it's a musical number, and so it's like, I mean, it's probably one of the features. They just needed a reason to do the musical number, but it's definitely padding. As far as, you know, if you're a big stickler for plot and theme, then yes, that's padding. But if you're like all about song and dance numbers, then everything else is padding.
So your favorite scene when she gets hit by the goat, that's really her.
Okay, yeah. They didn't just bring in one of the munchkins to just get hit by a goat.
One of the, just some drunk munchkin, right? So
drunchkin.
No, I guess they did several takes, and she was butted several times, and she said it didn't hurt her, but her mother finally, after take whatever, and decided they needed a stunt double. So some other adorable 8-year-old girl had to get hit by a goat. So
okay, so the one we saw was a different 8-year-old girl.
So I don't know. Like she did take the hit a couple times, so I don't know what if the final take is her or someone else.
So I think the adorable girl who got hit is well, you know, some of the guys on set, the lighting guys on the set, were just like, she ain't no adorable anymore. You know, it was they once called her, you know, the adorable Jane is what they said, but yeah, because her getting hit by a goat, it's like one of those things that you can only laugh if you see it on video. Because if you saw it in real life, you're like, that little girl broke a few, like maybe two bones doing this. She might have a concussion, you know, and so you're like, oh no, is that little girl okay? But, you know, it's one of those things if you see on TikTok or something, like, oh man, that little girl got wasted.
So it's interesting. Let me ask, right? Because mm-hmm. they've decided, okay, this is going to be a funny little scene. A goat is going to ram her in the butt.
Yeah.
And, like, did they test that on someone? Or did they, like, does anyone know if this is going to hurt? if this is dangerous? Does anyone know if this is dangerous? Well, let's get Shirley to give it a try, right?
They probably have test girls for stuff like that, like that kind of. Yeah.
Huh. Get paid your nickel per day.
Okie dokie. That's Heidi. Heidi. So, let's see. Next,
quickly, like, my memory of Heidi is kind of like Meet Me in St. Louis, where I'm like, only a little bit of this movie is Christmas, but really, it's like the full second half of the film.
Sure, yeah. If you're worried about whether or not this is a Christmas movie, fine, it's a Christmas movie. Yeah,
anyway, sorry.
I got these out of order, because I watched these out of order. Next is Ernest Saves Christmas, which...
Next is Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah, you said, okay, you summed that up, and then I get the beginning of the other one. Okay.
Okay, so this is one of many Ernest movies, right? And I don't know the chronology. I don't know which of his films this is. I mean, so what were the other ones? There was Ernest Goes to Camp,
the original. I think was the first, yeah.
Is this number two?
I think it is. I'll look this up.
Okay, while you're looking it up. So one of the worst Ernest movie is Ernest Scared Stupid, and I just can't stand it, because the kid actors in that film are just so awful. Mm. Just the worst, right? But so this is Jim Varney, who started his career doing milk commercials, right? That's how this guy got started. Local television milk commercials.
That's what we saw, because those were the commercials we saw here, but I'm pretty sure he did local commercials for everything. We just saw the milk ones, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got the shtick where he's got the invisible best friend Vern that you never see, right? Anyway, so the point is, everyone knows who Ernest is. I don't have to explain it. In this film, Santa Claus has come to Florida to find a new Santa Claus, because Santa Claus has been Santa Claus for too long. He's held on to the job longer than he should have because he enjoys it so much, but he's kind of losing the spark.
On what day? December 23rd.
Yeah, it seems like poor timing. Like, maybe you figured this one out in July or January?
I mean, January may as well start. I mean, you get some things paid. I think the papers need to be signed by July, the beginning of July at the latest, you sign the papers.
Yeah, can you imagine being thrown into that job on Christmas Eve? That's a lot, right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Anyway, he has singled out a local children's television character or actor named Joe Carruthers as having all the right qualities. He meets Ernest because at the airport, Ernest is the taxi driver who drives him to the Children's Museum, right? So, long story short, they get to the Children's Museum, he meets Joe Carruthers, Joe Carruthers' agent shows up, and Joe is being given a chance to be in a real feature film, a movie called Christmas Sleigh. So, Joe asks his agent to deal with Santa. Santa blurts out that he is Santa Claus, and then for some reason, that means he goes to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't get, right? That makes no sense to me that, this man should be arrested because he says he's Santa. I don't know what crime that is.
Movie's a commentary on the treatment of the mentally ill in this country.
And that's why I ranked it my favorite of the three movies. So, anyway, he goes to jail, although they tell him, you're going to have a couple meals and you'll be back on the street. So, why arrest him if he's zero threat? If you're just throwing him back out anyway. I just don't understand. Anyway, Santa will not be dissuaded.
It might be something like you said, Oh, okay. If this is a homeless guy, then putting him in jail is actually kind of a charity because of the meal thing? A
couple of warm meals, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Could be. Anyway, Ernest and Santa have been joined by Harmony Starr. Do you remember what her real name is? Pamela? Pamela something.
Okay. I don't know if her real name is Pamela.
She's a runaway.
She introduces herself as Harmony Starr. One of the characters calls her Pamela, but also, and I know that character is this omniscient god who brings toys to all the children of the world, but he also messes up, like, 20 other things in this movie. So I don't know if I trust that guy.
But so Harmony Starr is played by Noelle Parker, who went on to be, what was that, the movie she did where,
I think she was in Clerks.
Was she? Okay, but there's like, so I,
Want me to look it up?
I'm doing it. Come on, you dumb internet. Lethal Lolita, the Amy Fisher story. So that's where her career went shortly after In the Saints Christmas. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, and she's in Clerks. She plays Veronica in Clerks, so.
She's pretty good in that, if I remember right.
Yeah. Well, man, have I even seen Clerks? I don't know. So, anyway, they break Santa out of prison. Santa's got to get back in touch with Joe. They meet Joe on the set of Christmas Sleigh. Turns out you spell it S-L-A-Y. It's a horror film, although the villain looks just awful, right? Like this creature from the Black Lagoon sort of alien. Joe's not sure he wants to do the movie. Santa has one more shot at convincing him to be Santa. He gets turned down. But then Joe, as he's discussing the script with the producers, it's not going well, and he sees Ernest flying the sleigh outside, and he realizes that really was Santa. I really am going to be Santa. He heads to the Children's Museum. Ernest gets the sleigh there in time. Harmony Starr brings the magic bag back in time. They make it snow so that the guy at the airport gets his Christmas wish, and there's a new Santa Claus, and Ernest saves Christmas. So,
yeah, gosh. Do you think he had to tell Joe that he's the new Santa Claus because of the shock of becoming the new Santa Claus? Like, that's not something you want someone to think about. Like, you need to trap someone into Santa Claus so they do it for 100 years.
I guess. You're it.
Yeah.
So, but I think he made a good choice because when he was in there getting ready to sign the contract for the movie, I can't remember what the name of the movie company was, Worldwide Pictures or something. Yeah, there's like a graph behind them of their profits, and it's just going straight down, right?
You're trying to hire someone for your movie, and that's the thing you have on the wall? The company's profits?
Don't turn around. You don't need to look at that. Don't look at that. Yeah, this company's not headed in the right direction, so being Santa for 100 years is better than doing a crappy Worldwide Pictures movie. And having to swear as the actor, that's not cool. So there's a couple of moments in this film, like the one where they confront him about what's the big deal about swearing, the kids have heard swearing before, and he says, not from me. I kind of like that. I mean, this is just your typical Ernest movie, but I really think it's the best of all the Ernest movies. I don't know how much that's saying. You have the two guys at the airport who handle the reindeer, and they're kind of in every Ernest movie, right? They're in a lot of the Ernest movies. So now, you have a lot of your old characters, huh?
Two things, really quick. If anybody's really screaming at, at your iPhone right now, Noelle Parker actually wasn't in Clerks. She was in the TV remake of Clerks with Jim Brewer, which I didn't know existed until I was just looking around just now. So, not in Clerks. Not in the Clerks that we know, anyway. That's not important. Yeah. But the next thing is, we may as well go through these. I'm just going to ask you which of these you've seen, because I have the IMDb for Jim Varney up right now.
Sure.
So, there's a video in 1983 called Know What I Mean? Hey Vern, It's My Family Album.
Yeah, seen it.
Okay. Really?
That's a great one. I would love to know where I could watch that so I could force my kids to watch it, because, like, one of his family members is a carny. He's like a carny at a carnival, and, like, he's in charge of a ride, and the three speeds are fast, faster, and boogie. But Boogie apparently is, like, lethal, like it's dangerous.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a good one.
Well, this is, because this is, like, it's 1983, so this is 5 years before Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very early Ernest. That's amazing that you've seen it. And that reminded me of, oh, shoot. Okay, no, I'll get to that. Okay, the Ernest Film Festival in 1986, that's, I don't know. Okay, and then Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah, seen that, of course. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then Hey Vern, Win $10,000 video, 1987.
Nope.
Okay, Ernest Saves Christmas is the next one.
And oh, then, good, it's the second movie, okay.
Yeah, the TV series Hey Vern, It's Ernest.
Yeah, of course. That was okay. Like Saturday morning, right?
Was it like a cartoon?
I don't remember, but I remember seeing him on Saturday mornings.
Okay.
So I could be wrong.
That's amazing. Okay, you're doing much better than I thought you'd be doing.
Yeah, I'm about to peter out here.
Ernest Goes to Splash Mountain TV movie.
No, I saw it! I saw it! Because they used Ernest to open up the ride at Disneyland. Like, Jim Barney was like, played Ernest to help usher in Splash Mountain at Disneyland. I remember that.
It's weird. The late 80s just belonged to Ernest. Like, he's everywhere.
Oh, man.
You can't escape this. Okay.
Yeah.
The Magical World of Disney TV series, Ernest P. Worrell, Ernest's Father. So, it was the Disneyland's 35th anniversary celebration. He plays Ernest P. Worrell. So, okay, you didn't see that. Okay, Ernest Goes to Jail,
yep.
1990.
We own, okay. By the way, we own Ernest Saves Christmas and Ernest Goes to Jail.
Okay.
And Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yes. Okay, you own them. Okay, of course you do. Okay,
yeah,
and then
of course we do.
Let's see, Disneyland's 35th anniversary special. That's probably related to the other one. Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah,
so,
okay, that's
I mean, he's fine. Like, I mean, Ernest is whatever. You either love him or you don't. But I really enjoy Ernest. I just kind of silly, goofy, wholesome humor. So,
earnestly enjoying Ernest. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and he does, like, he's got his silly impressions, which Ernest Scared Stupid becomes all about the impressions, right? But Ernest Saves Christmas, what he did, like the snake guy, he did the mother of the agent, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah. Anyway, keep going. You've at least got to get to.
Yeah.
Did you already say Ernest Scared Stupid?
Yeah, I said that. Okay, Ernest
and
Rides
then
Again.
Two I haven't seen. Ernest Rides Again. Okay, I haven't
yeah.
seen that.
Okay, and then let's see. Ernest Goes to School. I guess he's never gone to any school.
Oh, wow, nope, never saw that. And keep going. I think there's one about maybe basketball and one about Africa.
Right, let's see. The World As I See It, he plays Ernest. That's, I don't know what that is. Slam Dunk Ernest, a video.
Slam Dunk Ernest.
Slam Dunk Ernest.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, okay, in the meantime, he's playing Slinky Dog in Toy Story.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Duckman, Ernest Goes to Africa. Okay, and then this is what I was going to say. On The Simpsons, he plays Cooter, the carny Cooter. So perhaps based on his carny character from the 1983 Ernest show that you were talking about.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. And then Toy Story 2. And he wasn't in Toy Story 3. He probably died by the time of Toy Story 3. So
he did. I assume he died of cancer, right?
Oh, Ernest in the Army. That's one I missed, 1998.
Ernest in the Army, yeah.
Yes, I believe it seems like he's the kind of person who would die from lung cancer. I'm not sure why.
You just kind of picture that, like, when he's not playing Ernest, he's a chain smoker.
Yeah. Guess how old he was when he died?
50?
50 years old. Only 50 years old. Yeah. What do you know?
Let's see. Died of lung cancer.
Oh, wow. That was just a guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I remember my mom saying, like, when he's not playing Ernest, like, the real life Jim Varney was kind of a weird guy, like the kind of guy that, like, wore lots of leather and stuff. So I mean, I don't really know, but I kind of, like, if you've ever seen Ernest Escapes or Goes to Prison, there's like there's the real Ernest and then there's the prison Ernest, and it's like I get the impression that, like, real life Jim Varney was actually prison Ernest. So anyway, who knows?
Yeah,
he made a lot of kids happy. Including
yeah.
me, so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Ernest Saves Christmas, but you say definitely the best Ernest movie.
It's the best Ernest, and...
you wrote your college thesis on that, I'm sure.
I didn't.
Yeah.
He never made it into any of my college movies, but... Yeah, college papers, but... this is the only movie that has an actual Santa Claus. So, there's that.
Of
I don't know if that's going to figure into your awards, yeah, but there is an actual... There's two Santa Clauses, I guess, in this film.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Santa 1 and Santa 2. It's kind of like The Mask of Zorro. Mask of Zorro ripped off this movie. You know, it's like we're gonna Antonio Banderas is the new Santa Claus, and then they rewrote it to the Mask of Zorro. Okay.
Yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol, I'll talk about the beginning of it.
Sure.
Okay, so we open in a world where Muppets are slightly on a lower tier than normal humans. No one acknowledges it.
It's true, though.
But it's true, yeah. The interesting thing about this Muppet, this version of Christmas Carol, is that Charles Dickens is actually a character in the movie, played by Gonzo, and he does some narration, and so they actually have some actual dialogue from A Christmas Carol, which I've never read, and I'm sure you have.
I have.
Yeah,
A bunch of years ago, I wanted to like read the book to my kids every Christmas, like 5 pages a night or something, and we did it 1 year, but it became like a chore.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I do enjoy it. So anyway, we'll talk about it. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, Ebenezer Scrooge. I don't know if anybody's heard of this guy, but he's just a bad guy. He's just like, he's all about capitalism, and he's just like, why should anybody have a day off? We need to get the wheel of capitalism turning all the time. Make sure things, you know, and whatever. Anyway, Bob Cratchit and the bookkeepers, a series of rats. He has a whole team in this movie. It's like a big office, a big busy office full of a frog and a bunch of rats. They convince him to take the next day off because, hey, all the other businesses are going to be closed, so there's no one to do business with. So, you know, you're only going to be paying for, you know, coal. And so he's like, okay, well, that's fine. Anyway, Scrooge is visited by Jacob and Robert Marley. I don't believe there's a Robert Marley in the book, right?
No, that was rewritten to fit the two characters. I can't remember the names of those two Muppets. They're the hecklers.
Yeah, Statler and Waldorf. Yeah, so Statler and Waldorf play Jacob and Robert. And the whole Robert Marley thing, I think I got this. I'm like, oh, I get it. Because Bob is short for Robert, right? And so it's Jacob and Bob Marley, I think is the joke, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a joke? Okay. Anyway, they sing a song, and they say, Scrooge, hey, you know, we didn't live our lives right, and you're going to be visited by three spirits. And then he is visited by one of the spirits, and it is one of those freaky Gelflings from The Dark Crystal.
No, so when I was watching it with my wife, I'm like, this is, like, the Ghost of Christmas Past is a really creepy ghost, like, more than, like, the Ghost of Christmas Future ends up being.
I think so, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a creepy, creepy ghost. And that's when we see, you know, he falls in love, but then it doesn't work out, and it's one of those things, and I don't know if this is the same everywhere, but this is the one where it mostly showed, you know, I don't know, it seems like every movie about, you know, an absent father is like this, where the father's absent because his excuse is that he's devoting too much time for work, because then that provides more for her. And she's like, you know, no, I just want to get married. I don't care how poor we are. That's like a standard thing. And that's the case this time. So I guess he meant well at the beginning, but also I guess secretly he's just like, I'd rather work than hang out with beautiful women.
Yeah, so he doesn't object terribly when she, like, calls it off, right? Like, he doesn't, like, follow after her, right?
Mm-hmm.
To try and change her mind. It's just like, well, moving on, right?
So. Is Scrooge's big problem just that, you know, it's just like he developed a habit for himself, and he stuck to it?
So, if you want to know, Charles Dickens worked, like, did illegal child labor, right? Okay. As a kid, and so I think that he, like, was kind of taken from his family or separated from his family to work in, like, a bootblack factory or something. And so, yeah, that's a lot of where this character comes from. But this movie doesn't do a great job of kind of explaining Ebenezer, and it's my big complaint about this film. There's lots of adaptations of this film, and they just don't seem to be very successful. This seems to be a lot of people's favorite, and I do like it. It's up there. My favorite is going to be from the 1951 version with Alistair Sims.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, That's the best version. But so there's like a point in this film where I think when he's talking to the Ghost of Christmas Present, he's like, I just don't get Christmas. But that's not Ebenezer's problem, right? It's not that he just doesn't get it. He's just like one of those weird people who doesn't get Christmas. He's had like a traumatic past, right? Like his father kind of not disowned him, but like abandoned him from, I think what we're supposed to understand is his mother has died or someone has died. And for whatever reason, like Ebenezer bears the blame from his father. I don't understand it, but there's this strained relationship with him and his father, right? And so he tries to have a loving relationship with Clara, and it doesn't work out. And so whatever it is, but so I think you can't get too complex emotionally when this is a Muppet film, right? And you know what your audience is going to be, but I feel like it dumbs it down a little bit. Uh-huh. Also, they totally skip the fact that in the book, Ebenezer lets Cratchit go home a few minutes early, right? Cratchit says it's time to go home, and Ebenezer says the clock's fast, and he says, never mind, just be here earlier the next day. And that is, according to the text and other adaptations, that's kind of where the spirits decide that there's something there, right? That there is something worth trying to save, that Ebenezer has shown that change is still possible, right?
Okay.
But anyway, so I'm complaining. You can say to yourself that just the fact that he gave Cratchit the offer Christmas is the same thing. Maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe. It sounds like, boy, you're way more devoted to the text than I expected. That's fine.
It's a good book. It's short, so I don't know if Ammon actually listens to our podcast. I don't think he likes it. but I'm into sentiment, and I'm into the moral stories and all this, and there's lots to talk about with. I feel like I'm more talking about the story than I am talking about this movie. But anyway, so do you have any more to sum up, or do you want me to take on present and future?
Well, we all know what happens in his past. He's just like starts getting. He's led down a path of selfishness. Okay, go
greed
ahead.
And avarice. Yep.
Do the present and future. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. So he meets the ghost. So this is a weird part in the text for me as well, where like the Marleys tell him that for the next three nights he'll be visited by spirits every night, but the spirits all come in the same night. So why did I don't understand? What's the disconnect? Why did Marley say it would be three nights and then it was one? I don't like. What's the point of pointing that out? But anyway. Anyway, the Ghost of Christmas Present is jolly, super jolly. He loves meeting people. He takes Scrooge out and he says, hey, this is what you're missing with Christmas. This is what makes Christmas so wonderful. He takes him around, shows him people who are happy and enjoying the holidays. He takes him to his nephew's house, his nephew who invited him over for dinner, and he discovers his nephew and his wife and their friends making fun of Scrooge. So,
Which is, I don't know, is that right for that character? I thought the point of Fred was that he's just a good, forgiving person, even though he's not as successful as Scrooge. Doesn't it kind of take the virtue out of Fred to just be making fun of Scrooge like that?
A little, right? I kind of, like, you wish that maybe someone else was making the joke and then Fred would, like, half-heartedly defend it, but maybe Fred's just, like, put off from trying so hard for so long, right? And he's just done. Maybe Fred's done. I don't know. He's got a lovely wife, by the way, and I think her name is Clara. So we have at least two movies here with a Clara.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of them can walk. but anyway, so in this movie, Clara is the one with the ringlets. But then they go to Bob Cratchit's house, and by the way, Miss Piggy is she's an excellent Emily Cratchit. She does a great job. Yeah. No one does indignant like Miss Piggy. So Scrooge gets to see that the Cratchits are really poor. And they have a son, Tiny Tim, that's dying. You know how the story goes. But they are enjoying their Christmas anyway, right? Even despite their poverty, they are enjoying their Christmas. Moving on to Christmas future. So Scrooge learns that someone has died and everyone's pretty happy about it. And it's weird that he is in such denial that he can't immediately tell that it's him, right? Like, it should be so obvious. It's not someone like him. It's definitely him we're talking about. So he sees that Tiny Tim has died, and he talks to the Ghost of Christmas Future, and he says, why have you even shown this all to me? If I don't have an opportunity to change, I can change, I will change, come on, give me a chance. So he wakes up in his bedroom, he's been given a chance, and of course he changes, right? So he goes and he buys the biggest turkey you can find and gives it to the Cratchits. He buys a ton of presents, right? It turns out lots of places are open, John. and then he just kind of makes amends and he changes.
So Bob Cratchit was lying about all the other businesses being closed.
He's like, I swear no other place is open. Don't fact check that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he raises Bob's pay and he pays off his mortgage, which I don't think that's in the book. But I know that he gets a pay increase, right? And he volunteers to help Cratchit with his financial affairs. So there's all that. So what I do love about this movie, and I think Michael Caine does a pretty good job, right? I know if you read the trivia, like that he told, is it Brian Hansen?
Hansen.
He said, "Hey, I'm gonna treat this like it's Shakespeare. I'm not just because there's Muppets. I'm not gonna like hold back on my performance." So you can judge his performance however you want. But he
personally, I felt stronger about his Jaws of Revenge performance.
He's pretty convincing in Jaws the Revenge, isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. He plays that ambiguous, is he the good guy or the bad guy character so well.
Totally.
So what I love about I've got six children. I wanted to name one of my sons Ebenezer and my wife wouldn't have it, and she's right. I mean, he would have been made fun of, right?
Yeah.
But people think of Ebenezer as the miser, as the Scrooge, but what's the last line in the book, right? That if anyone knew how to keep Christmas, it was him, and that his name was always synonymous with the spirit of Christmas. And so I feel like Ebenezer is a name of hope and of change, and it's what Christmas is all about. And so, not going to get just a tiny bit religious here, right? Like, we talk about charity during Christmas, and we usually think of giving to the poor. But I think that sometimes even just as important is charity towards other people, right? We don't know what people are going through. We don't know what their situation is. And we have to give people the ability to make changes in their own life and to change and grow. And so Ebenezer is this character who was, by all accounts, unredeemable, but he changes. And I kind of feel like, because it's Christmas, so I'm going to, we have our Savior believes that about all of us, right? And to the point that, like, when he's being crucified, he forgives the people who are crucifying him because he believes that they can still attain their salvation, the people who are crucifying him.
They can change.
So
you can change.
They can change.
We can change.
Yep.
Okay, counterpoint?
So absolutely. Yep.
I mean, the thing about A Christmas Carol is... it's like, okay, let's take this rotten guy, and I think, okay, we don't see Scrooge the next day, but I've always kind of taken it to be like, okay, let's get this guy to be good just for one day, because it's Christmas, you know? Like, it's a Christmas thing, not a I'm changing my life kind of thing. It's like the magic of Christmas makes him change for Christmas, because Christmas is that important. Christmas is the time where you're kind to people. And so, I mean, next day, okay, so, I think the point is the next day is that, you know, he's changed and he'll always be charitable and everything, but, I kind of think maybe this is too much of a Christmas movie, too much of the, like, the power of Christmas kind of thing, because that's kind of how I read it. It's just like, okay, you know what, today's the day you're nice to people, and then the rest of the time you're not.
So you think 364 days a year he's normal Scrooge?
Yeah, he's like,
it's
like
every Christmas.
But pretty much, yeah. All the ghosts say, you know, be nice during Christmas, mm-hmm. and he's like, okay, fine, I'll be nice today. I can do that, you know. Yeah.
So, but I feel like a lot of people are a lot closer to the edge than we think, right? I don't think necessarily he was the worst person in the world, and like he's not Charles Manson that all of a sudden he wants to be Gandhi, right? Mm-hmm. I think he was much closer to that center, but. So I understand like the idea of like this is a real sudden change, but of course he did have a pretty traumatic night, right? Uh-huh. A lot went on, and so this maybe can feel like Anakin turning to the dark side,
except
in a good Christmassy way, right?
Right.
But anyway, I fall for it. I love it. I'm a big fan of the story, and
see,
and I always get choked up at the end. So
that's good. I just realized. Earlier this week, I was thinking about all these Christmas movies that we do and everything. And there are three Christmas movies. Am I right? There's The Birth of Jesus, you know. And so, like, we saw that with, like, Three Godfathers, because that's about you know, an analogy of the birth of Jesus, you know, with the, you know, three people and the baby and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's A Christmas Carol, which we saw with this movie and with Scrooged and so many TV shows and whatever. Yeah. And then the third Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life, which, you know, we have talked about. And I feel bad for saying this, but It's a Wonderful Life is, like, I think the king of Christmas stories. It doesn't have to be a competition between A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, I suppose. But I'm like, It's a Wonderful Life is kind of my Christmas story. And
yes.
This is lousy, but I think It's a Wonderful Life beats the story of the birth of Jesus, which isn't really that great of a story. It's just a thing that, it's just this, you know, it's just, you know, the Son of Man was born and, you know, and it was bad circumstances, but he was born, and that's kind of the story, you know?
So it's fascinating to me because when I think of, because I was thinking about the same thing as far as It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Like, A Christmas Carol is sort of the exact opposite of It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, it comes from the exact opposite angle. This person who has been trying so hard to be so good for so many years, and he finally just can't handle being good without any reward any longer, versus someone who has resisted goodness for whatever reasons and finally is given an opportunity to embrace it, right? But I will agree with you. I like It's a Wonderful Life better. It's not even close. So it's weird to me because I complain about how hard it is for a decent adaptation of A Christmas Carol, and maybe at some point I have to admit that that maybe the source material is the problem if it's so hard to make a decent version, right? So I don't know. Maybe the book reads well. So have you seen the Alistair Sim version? If you haven't, it's worth it.
I should.
It's my favorite.
I believe that's the version. I think Chris Hicks, the Channel 5 critic growing up, he listed a bunch of all the Christmas carols because there was like one coming out every year. You know, when we were kids, there was like a new one all the time. Yeah, and I think he said the Alistair Sims one is the only one that I believe the transformation at the end.
Yeah. You know, the guy, he's good. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I love Michael Caine, but and I love how he said he's going to treat it seriously, but also. I kind of didn't buy the transformation. I kind of felt
A really hard time too. Yeah. I have a really hard time with his, and like after I read that like he was taking this performance really seriously, I was like, but anyway, yeah.
I will say this is a great movie. It's Muppets, of course. You can't go wrong, and I love Muppet stuff. But I don't know. I guess it's the season of Christmas that brings out the humbug in me. But I kind of wish I didn't hear from 100 people that Muppet Christmas Carol is the best Christmas Carol, because it's not. I don't think it is.
It's not.
Yeah, I was like kind of like, oh, okay, well, it's another one. I mean, honestly, I prefer Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol is good, and it's like 20 minutes, so it's nice and concise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, and again, Muppet Christmas Carol, great movie, great Muppets, great version of the story, but, you know, you did me wrong by saying it was the best version so many times.
Yeah, so I love Stan the Eagle in this film.
Oh, it's good.
His declaration that business is the American way, right? And I mean, the Muppets have some great license, yeah, like, where Gonzo breaks the shelf at the schoolhouse and apparently only like Stan acknowledges it, right? So anyway, there's a lot of fun things with doing this the Muppet way. I will say, like, as far as Muppet movies period are concerned, I thought the original Muppet movie was by far the best.
Yeah.
And they haven't really topped it since. And I could, if you started to like rattle off the cameos in that film, it's insane.
Yeah.
How many people are in the original Muppet movie? Not to mention the musical stylings of Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. But anyway, someday we'll watch that movie.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun.
The Lovers, the Dreamers, and You. So these are our Christmas movies.
Yeah.
You guys picked them. I nudged one. But Merry Christmas, you guys. Good choices. So let's do some awards, huh?
One more thing.
Okay.
About Muppet Christmas Carol. You remember how much I hated Scrooged?
Yes.
I hate it. Yeah. And so this is a better version of A Christmas Carol, but Scrooge is kind of moving up because, and I don't think this was in the original story, but Scrooge did one thing that I loved, that I loved. And that was the Ghost of Christmas Future showed Scrooge what happens to the woman he loves and what happens to the people around him, the people who become like Scrooge. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I've never seen in any other version of Christmas Carol, maybe because it wasn't in the source material, but I thought that was kind of the most powerful, like, triggering event, where it's like, you know, he's just like, oh, I can be miserable, and I can be selfish, and I can do all these things, but when you see how that affects other people trying to emulate you, I think that's something, yeah.
It's not in the source material, but I like that angle, too, because no one is an island to themselves where they don't affect other people, right? And so I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you can say, well, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't affect other people, but it does. And so,
yeah,
good catch, John. I thought you were going to say nipples, but what you said was good, too.
I like those.
I didn't. There were no good nipples in this version.
So everybody go watch Scrooged. Compare it to Muppet Christmas Carol. Yeah. awards.
Let's do them.
Okay, best title.
Okay, Ernest Saves Christmas, honestly.
It is Ernest Saves Christmas. Definitely. Yeah. It's the best title. Go Ernest.
Yeah.
Okay, best poster.
John, I'm coming back to Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah, me too. I would have picked the Heidi one, but there's just like the postcard just like photoshopped in very poorly to the Heidi poster of like the pastor and the girl that the pastor like is, you know, trying to get with. And it's
Groucho.
Like, oh, okay, whatever. That doesn't happen. Okay. It's not good on the poster, but the Ernest Saves Christmas one where he's like on the Christmas tree and his mouth is open. That's good. It's classic.
Yeah.
Okay. Best opening credits.
Okay, it's Heidi. I think I love it. The hand-drawn pictures of the characters.
With the old book? Yeah.
The old book, yep.
Okay, I'm going with Ernest again. That's three Ernests in a row for me.
Ernest is pretty good. Like, it's the 100% free public domain opening credits, right?
Yes, it has Norman Rockwell paintings and, like, Coke. What did you say? Coke Santa paintings and stuff?
Coke Santa paintings,
and then it just
yeah,
has, like, a medley of just general Christmas songs, and it's like, this is what I like about Christmas, you know, it's just familiar comfort.
Yep.
Okay, best technology.
Okay, the rat bellows from the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh,
when Gonzo used Rizzo as bellows, yep.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I have just Santa's sleigh and Ernest Saves Christmas. Oh, that's four in a row. It's four in a row for
John.
Ernest, yeah. It's got some supersonic buttons on it, and it's password protected.
Ernest is building some serious momentum here.
Big momentum for Ernest.
Yeah.
Best outfit.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Gonzo Dickens. His kind of pinstripe suit with the yellow ascot and jack and vest. Pretty sharp.
Well done. Okay. I'm gonna go when Ernest dressed as a college professor to get Santa out of jail. And then Harmony was dressed as like his bratty niece, but his professor outfit was great. It's like, why aren't you wearing that professor outfit all the time, Ernest? Why do you insist on the jean vest?
Yeah.
Okay, five in a row for Ernest for me. I just realized that. Best name.
So, honorable mention to Adelheid. That's cute. And by the way, every time I typed Adelheid into Facebook, like, there's someone whose name keeps coming up. Like, someone in Facebook land is named Adelheid. But I'm going to go with Mary Morrissey from Ernest Saves Christmas.
Mary Morrissey?
Yep, played by, that bird lady? Billy Bird, yep.
Yeah, okay, good for her. Okay, I went with Adolf Kramer. He's not a villain, even though his name is
the
Adolf
last good
Kramer.
Person named Adolf, yep.
Yeah. Okay, best food.
Oh, fresh bread and goat cheese.
Yeah, that's what I have. Kramer's bread with melted cheese.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Best alien?
I think Gonzo is a Thor. He's certified an alien.
He's literally an alien. That's right. I forgot
literally
about that.
An alien, yep.
I went with the Santa Claus in Ernest Saves Christmas because I don't know what's up with that guy. He's just... he's like a space kid. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know anything. He's just just lost all the time. Okay, best special effects.
Okay, so this is practical stuff, and it's like it's part of the plot as well, but the truck bed full of snakes with Santa just moving the hoses around with a rattle. So there you go.
Okay, that's very good. I went with the Heidi sequence where she sings the two musical numbers, and first she's like
flying?
Wire flying. Oh, yeah, and then it transitions to her being Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, best location.
Oh, it's Dorfli, Switzerland. Are you kidding?
Dorfli. Okay, that's the name. Okay, I couldn't find... Yeah, that's what I have. I put town in Heidi, but not the kidnapping town, is what I put.
the non-kidnapping town.
Okay, best song.
So from the Muppets Christmas Carol, I settled on It Feels Like Christmas.
Is that one Last Sleep Before Christmas, or is that a different Christmas song?
I like that one too, and it was it's two different songs. But okay. One More Sleep Till Christmas is good too.
Yeah. I went with Ernest's version of Oh Christmas Tree when he's driving in the cab.
Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree.
And yeah, that's those are all the words. Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, yeah. Okay, best guest.
Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy, I thought about Christmas. That's pretty good. She does a great Mrs. Cratchit. I went with Vern. The sequence, you know, where Ernest invades Vern, you know, because those were all the commercials when he's talking to Vern. And yeah, so yeah. Vern appeared in this movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Best external recurring character.
Okay, John. Andrews from Heidi is also the constable responsible for Mary Poppins.
Really? Wow.
Really?
Okay, honorable mention to Billy Bird. Yeah, who was in Police Academy 4.
Yeah.
And Gaylord Sartain is his name. He's one of the crate guys in the shipping place that held the reindeer. He plays the Big Bopper in the Buddy Holly story.
That's right, he's the Big Bopper.
Yeah. Katie found that one for me. And also, actually she found this one too. Douglas Seal plays Santa in Ernest Saves Christmas, and he plays Count Arco in Amadeus. I was trying to figure out which guy specifically it was. There were a lot of guys in just powdered wigs in that movie, of course.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a guy in a powdered wig. But I'm pretty sure it's like when they said, Principal Rooney says, "What did we decide for the opera, German or Italian?" And then the other guy says, "I believe we decided Italian." And then the guy goes, "Did we?" And I'm pretty sure that's Santa Claus in Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's Santa Claus. Yeah. Very good.
Okay, internal recurring character.
Sure. Sally Stevens is a singer in Ernest Saves Christmas and in The Muppets Christmas Carol and in Night Terrors, the Next Generation episode.
Wow, she sings in that?
I don't think she sings in it, but she's in... No, yep, she sings in that.
Wow.
I guess there was a soundtrack for that episode.
Singer in Night Terrors, Next Generation. That's it. I almost picked her. I went with Steve Rundell. He was in the visual effects department for Ernest Saves Christmas and Muppet Christmas Carol. Okay, best death.
Okay, I know she doesn't die because we see her later, but only because of It Must Be a Christmas Miracle. When Adolf Kramer throws Frau Rottenmeier like 100 yards across the street against the wall.
That counts. Yep. She's zombie Rottenmeier after that.
Yeah, that's right.
I have the guy in Animal Control in Ernest Saves Christmas, the guy with a crate dropped on him, and then they lift the crate
that's
up and
true.
He's plastered up against the crate. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, best villain.
Oh, it's got to be Aunt Dee Dee, right? Mm. Like, she's the worst.
It is Aunt Dee Dee, and I actually wrote down Rottenmeier because I was kind of thinking that was Aunt Dee Dee. But I picked Rottenmeier because her name is Rottenmeier.
It's a pretty bad name.
Okay, best hero.
That's the grandfather.
Oh, it is the grandfather. I put Joe because he heroically takes the mantle of Santa Claus for 1,000 years without realizing what he's doing.
That's true. So I give it to him in the end, but like he's totally the won't believe it until he sees it guy, right? Like,
yeah.
It feels like that's not quite the spirit of Christmas. Like he took the job at the end because he saw the miracle before having the faith. Anyway, I'm done complaining.
That's a good point. You're very religious today. That's good.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Go say your prayers.
Yeah. Because the schools can't force you like they should, Bart. Okay, best goof.
Okay, we already talked about this. Scrooge lets Cratchit off because businesses won't be open anyway, but then he goes and buys a goose and a bunch of presents at open stores.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay, I have two. Okay, the first is when in Heidi, when they go to church and they're all singing a hymn... Everybody has their hymn books, and they're all open to completely different pages. Just randomly open.
Okay.
But the big one, of course, is in Ernest Saves Christmas, when everything comes together in Orlando, Florida, at 7 p.m. Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah.
But by that time, Christmas already happened in Australia.
Oh, man.
So it's like pretty much only the United States gets Christmas, I guess.
I think so. But maybe you forgot to carry the one. I know Ernest mentioned carrying the one.
Yeah, he talked about... That's the one thing I remember about Ernest Saves Christmas, is him talking about the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth, and then some math. And I remember thinking as a kid, like, oh, that's a good point. Maybe Santa Claus could feasibly exist. Okay. Best LOL moment.
Okay, so my honorable mention is Ernest drinking straight from the punch bowl, like lifting up the giant punch bowl. But I went with, like, when he's talking to Santa in the cab, and he goes, you know who you remind me of, Santa Claus? Like, yep, I bet you get that a lot. Yeah, well, it's to be expected. It's because you look like him, because I am him. But then the best part is when Ernest just goes, because you am him. Well, how about that?
Because you am him. How about that? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That was... Okay, really? Okay, well, I...
Oh, I love it.
You know what I said, and that's when Heidi was mauled by a goat. 2 minutes into the movie, Heidi. Just demolished. She just wrecked.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. WTH moment.
When Adolf Kramer kills Frau Rottenmeier.
Oh, okay.
That caught me by surprise, yeah.
I wrote down singing babies in boxes, ? And Muppets, but I don't remember that part. I think there was some song there was singing babies, so that's kind of weird. I also wrote down just how inept Santa Claus is in Ernest Saves Christmas. Like, how could you have this job? You're so inept. You can't do one thing right. Yeah.
Well, I think part of that is the point, right? He definitely needs to...
Yeah, that's true.
To quit, yeah.
All right, best scene.
Best scene, the grandfather reading the prodigal son to Heidi.
Pretty good.
And that's all I can say about that.
Okay, best scene, I'm going to go Ernest driving the cab at the beginning, and he's weaving between cars, and his fare just rolls out of the car.
You can't get out of the car now.
Yeah.
You'll miss your plane.
Yeah, but that whole sequence, it's a big, long, like, car chase. It's crazy.
Yep.
Best actor?
Okay. I'm going to go with Shirley Temple.
I am too.
Very good.
Yeah. She's got the je ne sais quoi, I guess. Whatever that means.
Yeah, she's got that. She's the new It girl.
Yeah. She has got it! Okay, any questions about these movies that we haven't talked about?
Okay, we're going to get around to quotes, right?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So my question was, like, how does Herr Sesemann justify keeping Heidi captive after he realizes what's happened? I don't understand that.
Right. I think it's...
Because he's evil.
He's evil. Right. Well, he didn't know he was evil. It was just normal for the time, right? He's like, well, I'm rich and powerful, so I should get what I want. I guess things haven't changed that much. But it's just... I feel like it was just a very, you know, oh... I will justify her being better off here instead of, you know, being a woodsman.
Yeah, Well, yeah, that's what he said, right? Like, you can't live with your grandfather. The things I've heard about him, he decapitates people, right?
Yeah.
But Herr Sessemann, I assume, is the person who clears things up, right? When they're in the jail and they they have someone go fetch Herr Sessemann to clear up the situation. So I guess he does the right thing in the end, but like, there's a moment where he's just like, okay, I know that you're here illegally, but that's how it's going to be.
So, okay, anyway. That leads me to one of my questions. And sure. It's, why are all the jails so full on Christmas night in, like, Switzerland?
Oh, man.
Is it because of all the Santa Clauses in town, based on what we saw in Ernest Saves Christmas?
I think so. It's all the Santas. I don't know. People get too drunk, although... Can you arrest someone for being too drunk in Germany? I thought that was, like, part of the whole deal.
Maybe people who aren't drunk enough you can arrest.
Not drunk enough, yep.
Yeah. Okay, my big question, though, is when Ernest visits Vern's house, and, you know, we don't see Vern because the camera is Vern, but there's a point where apparently Vern is just staring at Ernest while Ernest pulls all the wiring out of the house. What was stopping Vern from tackling Ernest?
I don't know. Like, I think Ernest has a moment where he's like, I think your problem is the 110-220 conversion here, as he's like pulling the cable straight out of the wall, right? So I don't
is Vern in a wheelchair, I guess is my question.
That may be the case, yeah.
That might be the case. That's really sad. That's sadder than Tiny Tim. It's like, yep. Yeah, his only friend comes over and destroys his house and then leaves. Okay. Your best quote, you were waiting for it.
Oh, boy. So my honorable mention is from The Muppets Christmas Carol, when a piece of fruit says, "Hey, I'm being stolen." I thought that was pretty good. But from Adolf Kramer, when he says, "The mountains will give her the only religion worth having." And then he kind of reneges later, but I thought it was a great quote.
That's a great quote, yeah. The mountains will give her the only religion worth having. Okay, I actually went with the line from Ernest Saves Christmas, which, and it's the line you mentioned where they say, oh, hey, don't worry about those kids and swearing in front of those kids. It's nothing the kids haven't heard before. And then he says, Joe says, not from me. So it's just, yep. You know, just a little bit... You know, a little bit of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just, like, dignity and just, you know, the good kind of pride. What's that good kind of pride called? Yeah.
home pride. I don't know. It's the...
Integrity. Yeah. Integrity is the word
integrity
I'm looking
pride.
For.
Yes. Yeah.
I always forget that
it's
word.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great moment. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's go... Okay, what's your favorite tagline, and go ahead and do all your taglines.
Sure. The only one is, he's back, and this time Ernest saves Christmas, which is true. He does.
That was mine.
That was yours. Okay. Yeah. So alternate taglines. Heidi, the grandfather's waiting for you. Close the door behind. Ernest saves Christmas. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I really phoned that one in. I'm sorry. I just didn't have anything. And then, oh, wow. So this is where I got my greeting from. I thought I'd written this down somewhere. Okay, I just put, if Ebenezer can change and you can change, everybody can change.
That's perfect. So, yeah, no, that's good.
Okay. Well, those are my taglines. What you got?
My taglines. For Heidi, I say, kind of like the story of Anne Frank, but, you know, she's Christian, so, you know, she lives.
That's great. That's the spirit of Christmas right there.
Yeah. Okay, Ernest... everyone is so very inept, which only accentuates the majestic miracle of Christmas. And that was kind of long and bulky. Okay.
It's okay.
Muppets, let's see. Well, at least there doesn't seem to be any blatant human-on-Muppet discrimination. All right.
Very good.
Do you have a titular line?
Yeah. Okay. Dee Dee says it in Heidi, and I'm gonna try to remember how she said it. I think she goes, "Here she is. Her name is Heidi." that's what Dee Dee said to the grandfather.
Okay, I just did when the grandfather goes and wanders the streets of, you know, of
Frankfurt.
Yeah, Frankfurt. Just yelling, "Heidi, Heidi, Heidi." Okay, and I have written down, we have no Odyssey references because we're retiring that award.
Retired.
Okay. Yep. All right, special Christmas awards?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, I don't know if I have all of these right. We have, okay, best Santa Claus, first of all.
So there's only two real Santa Clauses, but I'm going to go with Scrooge. I mean, he paid off Cratchit's mortgage, so that's pretty great.
Did he pay off the mortgage, or did he like, make a payment on the mortgage?
He says, I'm paying off your mortgage.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of a big deal. What is that, like 30 bucks?
At least. I know. I remember Carl Malone one Christmas, he like bought a Christmas tree and paid off someone's mortgage. And so he's like Scrooge.
That's cool.
He's basically Scrooge.
Yeah. Okay, I went with Adolf Kramer.
Okay, that's a good choice. He looks just like Santa Claus.
He looks just like, he's mistaken for Santa Claus, but he is Santa Claus because, you know, he rides a sleigh and he saves Heidi, so.
Yeah.
The Santa Claus I didn't pick is the literal Santa Claus, who is like the worst Santa Claus. It's like the worst. Okay, do you have a best Mrs. Claus?
Yeah, I went with Mary Morrissey. I assume that, I mean, they're going to get married, so what does that make her? Is she, like, Mrs. Retired Santa? I don't know.
Yeah, I picked Mary Morrissey as well. But, I mean, but isn't Santa Claus just having an affair with her?
Sure.
Because there is a Mrs. Claus from, like, we have no reason to believe, you know, Mrs. Claus is dead. And,
geez, when he's in Florida, just, I guess, like, what happens in Florida with Mary Morris, he stays in Florida.
He's picking up chicks at the Science Museum.
Yep.
Okay.
By the way, his name is Seth Applegate.
Is that Santa Claus's name?
That's Santa's name.
Did, like, you notice where Santa Claus, the country of origin for Santa Claus?
What was it? I don't remember.
Prussia. That's what it says on his passport. Prussia.
Well, good. Good for him.
Okay, best gift.
Okay, I already referenced this, but it's getting your mortgage paid off.
Oh, that's a good gift.
Yeah,
I put Psycho Skin Doll for Clara.
Okay, very good.
It's a powerful gift. It's cursed.
Yeah.
Okay, best...
Comes with a free Kroger.
Best Christmas Miracle?
Sure, so Clara walks. That's pretty good. And just by the sheer willpower of Heidi saying, well, if you want to do it, you can. So,
okay,
there you go. Clara walks again.
I have the Santa Claus changeover in Ernest. Kind of a subset of that is the Christmas Miracle is that Ernest doesn't kill anybody. Okay, best Christmas display.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Sessamans. Like, they've got a pretty good situation going on in their living room with the tree and...
That's
and all that
good
stuff.
I have Vern's home before it's destroyed.
You know, he's got a pretty good... It's set up pretty nicely for Christmas, right? So, anyway. Very good.
Oh, I forgot to say something. Okay, I'll say it here. Okay, and the best Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas with your brand new wealthy kidnapped family.
That's... I went with the Cratchits, because like you said... They got the mortgage paid off, and also, as Dickens says at the end, and Tiny Tim, who did not die, had a great Christmas.
That's a pretty...
I thought for sure that was going to be your LOL moment, when he specifically says he did not die. Okay, so those are Christmas things. Okay, did I miss any? Yeah. What did I miss?
That's it. That's everything I got.
Okay, good. Okay, your third favorite movie.
My third favorite is Ernest Saves Christmas.
You know, I kind of liked Ernest Saves Christmas.
I could tell you kind of liked Ernest Saves Christmas.
I kind of did. I think I watched it with Katie. She was very annoyed with it. And and I kind of liked it, but I also liked its power to annoy. I think I mentioned that, too.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I can't, I guess in good conscience, not pick it as my third favorite. Yeah. My second favorite, I think it's going to be Heidi. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go number two, The Muppets Christmas Carol, and then top of the heap is Heidi.
Yeah. And I like The Muppets Christmas... I think the Christmas Carol won, not because it's Christmas, not because it's Christmas Carol, but it's because it's Muppets is why I picked it as my favorite. That's the reason. That's the reason. I kind of wish it was just a little bit more Christmas Carol-y for my taste, but...
Yeah.
whatever. And everybody's going to disagree with us, right? Because this is considered the best one. We just don't think it's the best one.
Yeah. Well, they won't disagree as strongly with you because you still picked it for your favorite film.
It's still my favorite, yeah. So, everybody... hey, have we mentioned our voicemail number? I'm just going to go ahead and mention it right here. 801-896-4542. Tell Roy why, you know, ask him why he hates Christmas so much and give him a piece of your mind. And he hates Muppets and he hates Tiny Tim.
And I hate Tiny Tim. Yeah. What a whiny little, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Caine stole his famous line from him. Tiny Tim didn't even get to say it.
Oh,
right?
See,
Tiny
see,
Tim
I told
says,
you.
God bless us, and then Michael Caine says, everyone, right? Like, he stole the line from him.
He's already taking again. He's already stealing from... He's already, like, absorbing wealth.
I'm getting... It's a 15% quote tax.
Yeah.
So, all right, John, we have some end-of-year awards, but I think we have a voicemail from the Andrew Wilson.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. How y'all doing? It's your buddy, Andy Wilson. Hey, this has been a crazy year, right? And I just want to thank y'all so much for just being, I don't know, part of all of it. I can always count on yours, mine, and theirs to be something good, something bad, something crazy, which definitely feels like 2021 altogether. So thank you for all that. Awards? I mean, the best movies, I have to say, I feel so grateful that I got to be a part of talking about literally some of the greatest movies of all time during this year. And so thank you for that. I got to talk about two of my favorite movies of all time, both The Empire Strikes Back and Godfather Part II. And obviously those are treasured, cherished memories. And I think they were pretty good episodes of the podcast. On top of that, we talked about some terrible movies too. And I don't know. I mean, Dream a Little Dream 2 is very obviously like the worst movie, of the year, I think. And, Mark, I'm looking at you. How dare you vote for Annette in that? Come on. Annette wasn't that bad. It was a movie that I saw that I didn't love and I didn't hate, but it wasn't that bad. Calm down. I think overall though, my favorite episode was, the one with J.B. Flinders where you talked about movies with numbers, because A, finally J.B. can stop talking about wanting to do 101, because now you've talked about it and we will never talk about 101 ever again. Let me consult the graph on the wall and it tells the story of it all. There will be no more Depeche Mode puns on the podcast ever, I'm sure. That one was great, but what was really great about that episode was the discussion about 8.5, and that is a movie that I hadn't seen in like 20 years since film class in college, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. People who make movies love making movies about making movies, and watching it now, it's just like this. I think this was JB's point on the podcast, is that there's so much more about being middle-aged, and how dare you cut me off. Okay, no, that's what being middle-aged is being all about, being cut off right in the middle of talking about great movies. Thank you both. I can't wait to talk about movies that I haven't seen before. And now the rush to not watch those movies, so that I can save them for the podcast or something. I don't know. Looking forward to that. Just thank you both for being, one of my favorite podcasts of the year. And, just thanks and Merry Christmas and, wonderful end of 2021. May it burn in hell. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Andy,
for that wonderful voicemail. He listed a lot of stuff that I'm not going to mention in my awards, so thank you for that, because, you know, a lot of movies we watched, and so a lot gets slipped through. I'm glad he mentioned that stuff about 8.5, that stuff about 101. I'm sure we're never going to talk about 101 anymore. But but also, I was listening to our last year's Christmas podcast that we did, and JB mentioned 101 on that before we even watched it. So I don't doubt there's going to be more 101. Okay, so any other comments for Andy stuff from you? Did you hear that okay?
Yeah, I heard it. No, I'm glad that Andy listens, and I appreciate that he enjoys the podcast, and I'm grateful that Andy contributed as well, not just guesting, which I hope he guests again this year. I'm sure he will, but also in the whole process, helping us pick some good and bad movies to watch. So,
yeah.
Andy, you're a treasured friend. We appreciate you.
You're great, Andy. Thank you so much. So kind. When I think of Christmas, I think of Andy. He's great.
Yep.
He's Christmas embodied. I may as well mention here, I was going to mention this, Andy was one of our guests, you know, this last year. I also want to shout out to Josh, Mark, Ammon, Rhett, Brooke, JB, Scott, Phil, Tony, Sean, and Zoe. I think that is everybody. I hope I didn't miss anybody. But
well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's those are our, you know, the list of co-hosts, so we hope you join us again in 2022, and we hope there are new people hosting in 2022. And we have plans for 2022. We'll get there, but before we look forward, we got to look back, right?
Yep.
Some new awards this year. Let's just start with the new awards.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Okay. You suggested the award for Best Podcast Title, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Okay, it's Andy Goes to Town.
That was my honorable mention. Yes, of course.
Man.
Andy Goes to Town, we picked that title because Andy picked a movie where a good, you know, 15% of the plot of the movie is groping boobies. And it sounds like it's a horrible movie, but it's a great movie. And, you know, we'll probably mention it later, but... So anyway, he's going to town. My another honorable mention is, and this is just for you, and I'm glad you got this, but we did, one of our Halloween movies took place in the 19th, one of our Halloween categories was 19th century horror, and so the name of that podcast was 19th, which is based on that 80s song, Paul Hardcastle, yes, who's saying about the average age of the Vietnam soldier, 19. Okay, but I went with Total Groin Adjustment Report, where we talked about Total Recall and Adjustment Bureau and Minority Report and Arnold Schwarzenegger getting kicked in the groin several times. So, okay, do you have a favorite podcast poster?
Yeah, it's not even close. I loved the one for Ginger's Fight Us with just the raping, angry... Jessica Chastain face.
That was mine. Ginger's Fight Us, where Jessica Chastain, at the apex of her open mouth yelling at somebody about finding Osama bin Laden. Here's a little secret,
man.
A little behind the scenes secret. The movie, the podcast posters that we put in, normally what I do is I do a Google search for, you know, just the movie. You know, and it's just like, you know, so like for The Green Knight, for example, it was a Google search of Dev Patel on a horse riding, and it was a very excellent picture because, you know, it's you know, the image that tends to go out to like all the press and, you know, and so it's what everybody has access to, and that's what I find on Google.
Sure.
But sometimes I actually capture an image from the movie itself, which is what I did with Jessica Chastain's open mouth. And, yeah, so we caught that one live, so that's a good one. Okay. Best podcast tagline. Is that the, okay, we didn't talk about this, but when you say podcast tagline, do you mean, like, the little quote, you know, when we do the, on the blog, it has a little quote under the description of what podcast it is?
Yes, and that's one of my favorite things is waiting for you, when you post the podcast, is to wait and see what quote you pulled as the tagline.
Okay, good.
So, I went with John, Don't Ruin This Movie With Science.
That was my honorable mention.
Okay.
John, Don't Ruin This Movie With Science, which I guess we were talking about Predator, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, that's when, yeah, the cortisostrone episode. Yeah. I went with, is that the most 80s thing ever, to be married to Robert Wagner?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not when we talked about Brainstorm, was it?
Yeah, I think it might be Brainstorm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and... Oh, shoot, I didn't write this down. Oh, I'm missing an award. Crap. I'll have to get back to that. Okay, let me just see if let me just wing it. Who do you have for your annual Battle Royale winner?
Oh, my goodness. I thought you meant a Battle Royale between all these category awards.
Oh, so, no. Yeah. All the characters that we talked about.
Winning in a Battle Royale? Holy cow. There's got to be some sort of crazy supernatural creature. Okay, I'm just going to go with Manos.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure you can defeat Manos, so there you go.
You can't defeat Manos. I actually went with... I think we talked about this in that very same episode, but I actually went with the Empire from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Boy, we didn't try very hard on that. Well, sorry. Well, we were confused. I forgot to do it, and... I don't even know. We didn't really know what we meant by the awards.
Okay, no, we're good.
Okay. All right, let's get to some of these more interesting ones.
Yeah.
What was your most disappointing movie? Like, one that you hadn't seen that you were disappointed by?
Worst new movie, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, no. I do have a worst new movie... But
most
also,
disappointing, got it. Most disappointing.
Yeah, most disappointing.
I just changed it.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to... No, that one's still there. What did I have in there? But anyway, I put... Oh, 8.5. I had 8.5 in there, but I changed my mind, and I substituted Brainstorm, because I think 8.5 is better than I remember. But Brainstorm, which has such an incredible name and a great cast... And there was so much potential, and it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly, we didn't watch that many movies where I was disappointed. We watched some bad ones that I knew they were going to be bad going in, so it was hard to be disappointed.
Kind of like Highlander 2?
Yes.
Even though it was terrible, I was still disappointed by it. Because it kind of sealed... I think I was mostly disappointed by Highlander 2 because it made Highlander 1... It kind of cemented, like... that Highlander 1 maybe isn't as great as I remember it being, because it's my favorite movie. And Highlander 2 was kind of similar to Highlander 1, but just not quite as good, and it somehow took down Highlander 1. And so that was very disappointing of Highlander 2. Also, Fearless Vampire Killers, I think, you know, both you and I were just in a bad mood when we watched that, maybe.
You might as well know that maybe the worst moment in any movie we watched, period, was just in Highlander 2 when he's doing the old man voice. That might be the worst thing we had to witness this entire year. So.
That's bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the most deproved movie? So a movie you've seen that got worse after you watched it.
Forgive me, Katie, I'm going to put Sliding Doors.
Hmm. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, Katie and Brooke. Brooke really likes Sliding Doors.
Yeah, I don't know if Brooke listens to this podcast. If you do, I also apologize, Brooke. So the movie's fine. It's fine. It deproved.
It deproved. See, and I still love this movie, but I feel like Shaun of the Dead is just so early 2000s. It's kind of it's weirdly dated, and if one thing Shaun of the Dead did, it really made me like Hot Fuzz and The World's End a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay, most improved movie that you've seen already?
I'm going with The Philadelphia Story. I think I was kind of down on that one, even though it's like a 100% Rotten Tomato 5-star film, right? Mm-hmm. I think the first time I saw it, I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't understand it, and I didn't get why people liked it so much. But I think it improved upon my viewing this year.
Okay.
Probably the most, yeah.
Okay, I actually went with Labyrinth, which is a movie I've always loved, but I feel more and more connected to it every time I see it. I feel like it's not just a fantasy thing, but it's more and more about you know, a young woman right in the between age when you know, she's thinking of childish things and she's stressed out about, you know, putting the childish things away and becoming an adult and worried about the adult things, such as, you know, her parents' divorce and also creepy men singing to her in a ball. okay. Okay, I'm going to throw a surprise at you really quick, because I don't think we talked about this. Okay. What movie were you most wrong about this year? I'm actually going to go with Harold and Maude, because I was the one who didn't like Harold and Maude.
What do you mean by wrong about? Like, I thought I knew something about it and I was wrong, or my opinion is the most wrong?
Well, you decided your opinion on the podcast, but now that the year's over, that you're like, well, maybe I should have considered this movie, like, either better or worse than I did.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to look back here now. Maybe Razorback.
Because you hated it or loved it? I can't remember.
I didn't like it nearly as much as you guys did, but I think I was not in the right spirit. Let's see. I'm trying to look at these others. The one I was most wrong about. I'll probably go with Razorback, I guess.
Okay. Good.
There
call.
You go. That's what
good.
I got.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Well, what about you? What movie were you the most wrong about? Did you already say?
I said Harold and Maude. Yeah.
Harold and Maude. Okay.
Okay. Did we do best? Let's see. We don't do best podcast episode, do we?
Nope.
Okay. Really quickly. Sorry. I'll just say this. You don't have to say any. But I think the worst episode as a whole, it may have just been sequels to movies we've already done, where we watched Rocky 3, Highlander 2, and Dream a Little Dream 2, and that's just, like, movie selection. It's like, they weren't supposed to necessarily be bad movies, but they were. Rocky 3 is pretty good, but, you know, the other two. And when the Cortezes came on, and they just, like, full-blown Predator, Aliens, and Batman Returns, that's, like, super exciting. But then the mythology one was really good. We've been trying to do mythology for years. We tried to get it on. It's like, why doesn't anybody want to do Greek mythology movies? And we finally got it on, and we talked about
Literal
it.
Years.
And we didn't do Jason the Argonauts, which I kind of regret, but it was still super fun to do mythology.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to it. Okay, do you have a biggest surprise of the year?
Yes. Your Name. Thank you, Andy Wilson.
Yes, thank you. I'm not picking Your Name as the biggest surprise, but just a couple quick ones. The Red Shoes, because it doesn't get enough love, and it's a great movie, and Josh hates it so much, but whatever. And The Young Girls of Rochefort.
Yep, that'd be an honorable mention for me, for
totally
sure.
Totally great surprise. That was just... Yeah. There's nothing like the delightful surprises like that. Okay, your least favorite movie that you had already seen. Like, what movie... You're like, I can't believe I'm watching this again.
So there's not many, right?
Right.
Because usually we pick the movies, and especially if I've seen them before. But I guess if I had to, I'd say Manos in the Hands of Fate. It's objectively a really bad movie, and this is the first time I'd seen it without the help of of the robots. So
that's the right answer. Yeah, I went ahead and picked Rudy because
Rudy.
I had to watch Rudy again. And I still don't understand why he's such a hero. I mean, he just cheap shotted the quarterback at the end of one game one time. So, I don't
John,
get it.
I appreciate your perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, your least favorite new movie that was new to you. I think there's kind of one answer.
Yes, it's Dream a Little Dream 2.
It's Dream a Little Dream 2. But I'm glad I persevered. I think I'm a better person for watching that. I think it, like, refined me in a... In good
I don't know. It traumatized me because I also watched like 15 hours of the two Corys.
That was amazing that you did that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, your favorite movie that you had already seen.
This is okay. So it's Rocky. For me, it's Rocky. I know. Yeah, I think I know what your pick is, but it's Rocky.
What's my pick?
I'm assuming you're going to say The Empire Strikes Back.
It is. Yeah, Empire Strikes Back. They're only like,
can we go over?
They're only like,
go ahead.
3.5 good Star Wars movies, and that's Empire Strikes Back is two of them. So,
So the people on our Facebook page have said that their least favorite movie that we did was Highlander 2.
Uh-huh.
Dreamy Little Dream 2 got a couple votes for that. Let's see, biggest surprise movie. Well, you voted in here, John. So one of the votes was for 101, and another vote by JB, and another vote was for option 3. Andy Wilson.
Our listeners are, by the way, the point of that poll is to write in the answer. You don't have to pick option 3, everybody. But whatever. If you want to be funny, do the option 3 thing. But yeah, so I guess no one was surprised by the movies of the podcast, huh?
Yeah. So favorite movie that we had podcasted, the winner, 7 votes, is Empire Strikes Back, followed closely by The Godfather. Number 3, The Fifth Element.
That's weird.
Actually, that's a big tie. There's a big tie for third place with Return of the Jedi, Batman Returns, Shaun of the Dead, and Fifth Element.
Okay, yeah.
See. Hunt for October got 3 votes. There's about 20 movies that got 3 votes. So.
Yeah, okay, the big question is, okay, Amelie, did any movies... We should probably mention... Here's some honorable mentions of movies that no one cares anything about.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. This is... You know, I love our listeners, and I love the Facebook group, but kind of is family members, and I'm allowed to yell at family members, and I'm about to. Okay, so these are the movies that got no votes. No votes. The Adjustment Bureau, okay, yeah, it's kind of forgettable. OJ Made in America, that's a great, maybe it's not a movie, but it's great. It's so good.
It's great.
The Red Shoes, so good. It's so good. White Heat, didn't get a vote.
Oh, that's a good movie. Man.
That's really good.
What's wrong with people? Yeah. White Heat's really good, yeah.
Brainstorm? Yeah, that's all right. Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus? I didn't like that one either. Betsy's Wedding? Okay, no, you have a point. Zero Dark Thirty? didn't get a vote. Okay, weirdly, 8.5 did not get a vote. So, Andy, you should have voted for 8.5. Let's see, Highlander 2? Didn't get a vote. Four Lions didn't get a vote. The World's End didn't get a vote. See, The World's End is better than Shaun of the Dead. So,
I think Hot Fuzz is the best of the three.
And I kind of agree. I think Hot Fuzz is the best. Yeah. Okay, Respect, no vote. Backbeat, no vote. Gone Girl, no vote. The Cortezes loved that movie. That's right. Fearless Vampire Killers, no vote. Santo and the Blue Demon versus the Monsters, what? No vote. Equinox, no vote. Phenomena, no vote. Harold and Maude, no vote. So, honorable mention to those. Okay, so those are the polls. Okay, we still have one more, though. Favorite movie that was unseen by you?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going with the Buddy Holly story.
Really? Wow.
I loved it. Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that. That's a great movie, I think, because we talked about it. It just doesn't seem like that musical biopic like the other ones do.
Yeah.
Okay, I went with, okay, honorable mention, The Green Knight. I think that needs some love here. I think we had a great conversation about The Green Knight, and it was fun to actually see a really good movie from this year.
Yeah.
But my favorite unseen movie is Your Name. You mentioned it as your biggest surprise.
Yay!
So thank you, Andy, for picking Your Name. And it's kind of hilarious because that was the episode where we watched Godfather Part 2, and both of us were like, yeah, Your Name is definitely better than The Godfather Part 2, considered the best movie of all time. So, mighty strong showing for the movie Your Name.
Yeah, very, very good.
Okay.
That was a pretty strong podcast. Yeah. All right.
That was 2021. Well, I think that's it.
2021. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening and sticking with us. Now, 2022 is around the corner, so we can do future business. But, John, do you want to talk about how the guest hosting, what our plan is for this next year?
The plan for the next year, and we've mentioned it before, and we did not change our minds, which I think is a good thing. So this coming year, if you have guested on our podcast already, if you're new to the podcast, we're doing the same thing where you pick three movies that made you, you know, if you're brand new. And which Katie, you know, my girl Katie, she's going to be doing that. You know, she's picking three movies. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if you've already been a guest where you brought three movies on, now the plan is you need to bring three movies that you've never seen. So there could be movies that you're curious about, could be movies on your list for a while, they could be movies that you hear are terrible and you just want to experience them and this is the place where you want to do the forum for them. That's fine. But the point is, you can't have seen them. Now, I don't know if we talked about this, Roy, but I believe you and I could have seen them, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's got nothing to do with us, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Nothing to do with us. So, if it's a movie we've seen, and maybe, who knows, maybe it's a movie we've seen that we've mentioned how much we hate, and if you want to troll us and beyond, you can, you know, and as long as you haven't seen the movie ever, then yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
Then, yeah. So that's how it's going to work. So that's the future business for this coming year, and it'll be super fun because this is going to be my year because I always try to pick movies to watch that I've never seen before because I just want to absorb every single movie that's ever come out, like, in my lifetime. So, and so I think it'll be good. In 2023, who knows what we're going to do, but that's what we're going to do for now.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So we have... Mm-hmm. In January, we got Katie.
Yes.
In February, we got Eric Kay, who's a guy I knew in basic training for the Air Force and in my language school.
That's amazing.
And then in March, we have Mickey and Phil.
Good. Yeah, so, Mickey's joining Phil this time. That's good.
And then in March and April, we have Andy, who's going to bring brand new films. And then in April, May, we got Josh, who will be doing the same thing, new films he's never seen before. Okay. But so you know, from May until October, we're open.
Good. Okay, so go ahead and get your requests in. Get them in early before the world ends. So that'll be good.
Yep.
Okay, in the meantime, we spoke to Katie on the phone a few minutes before we started recording. So I'm just going to go ahead and push play, and we're going to hear her picks for January for the movies that made her. Here we go. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
You look super...
Hello.
Cute and hot today, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh.
Fine. Okay. So, anyway, Katie is joining us on the Next Year's Mine and Theirs. And after much struggle, you finally decided on the three movies that you say made you. Am I right?
No, but we're going to go with three.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. We're ready for them. Go ahead and say the first one, and we'll awe and or groan as appropriate.
All right. So the first one is going to be Big Wednesday.
Okay. You've threatened me with this movie several times, and I'm very curious about it. Roy, you know anything about Big Wednesday?
It's a surfing movie?
Yeah. That's all I know about it. It's Big Wednesday. And is this the one with Gary Busey in it?
Yes,
oh,
Gary Busey.
Please let it be. Oh,
okay.
Oh.
Gary Busey and the guy from Air Hawk and the guy from Greatest American Hero.
Oh, okay. No, perfect. Big
the
Wednesday.
Three main guys.
Yeah, and you picked it, of course, because surfing changed your life.
No, I've never surfed.
Okay, well, we can't wait to hear the story of Big Wednesday and why it's the biggest of all days.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds really good. I rag on you about Big Wednesday, but it's always sounded interesting, so it'll be an exciting watch. Okay, what's the next one?
The next one's going to be North Shore.
Okay.
Another surfing movie.
And this is the movie that got you into surfing. Like, Big Wednesday kind of got there a little bit, but North Shore, okay. So, okay. Awesome. Okay, and is that... Who's in North Shore?
Please say Gary Busey.
No. Nobody famous.
Okay.
Dusty Road?
Even really? Better. So it's going to feel like a documentary.
Rick Flair?
It's going to feel like they're the actual people.
No. No.
Okay. Okay, Big Wednesday, North Shore. Okay, what's the last one?
Third one, it's going to seem like I'm on a theme, but these are really independently picked. They just all happen to be surf movies.
Okay.
And so the third one is Back to the
Back
Beach.
Back to the Beach.
You're my favorite Rockwood I've ever... I'm so happy.
Okay.
Oh, Back to the
Thank
Beach.
Thank you. You made Roy happy. I don't think I've seen Back to the Beach.
You saw it. Kate, if you came over to my house, you saw it, because my mom loved this movie so much, it was playing nonstop.
See,
so
and I
you
remember that. I remember it playing nonstop, but I'm not sure if I've done a start to finish on Back to the Beach. Okay. Yeah. We've said a bunch of stuff.
So I don't, it's not like I love surf movies. These are the only three surf movies that I love. Like, I don't like Point Break, and I've never seen Endless Summer.
Or Soul Surfer.
Nope.
Point Break is,
or anything.
Is
so
great. Point Break is
independent.
Like the
these are all independent of themselves. Although I am from California, and I do enjoy like surf competitions and stuff. But
yeah. So I'm excited to have a Lori Loughlin film. So that's good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, and there are three movies that I love and that, like, my family quotes, and I quote to people unknowingly, like, I pass it off as my own, but I don't know very many people who have seen any of them, so I don't ever get to talk to people about them.
Okay, so. That's why we started this, you know? It's an excuse, and it's a reason, and
So I had a lot of other movies that I wanted to watch that were, like, movies that made me, but a lot of people have seen them, and you talk about them all the time, but these are unique to me.
Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so now the
John,
fun
did
part.
You know some of the movies she had in mind?
I think Raising Arizona was one of them.
That's
yeah,
good
it was
one.
On the list until like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Raising Arizona is a great film. I think we'll get around to it.
Did you take it off because I saw you typing it in your message to Roy?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah.
That's annoying. Okay. Raising Arizona is one of my very favorite movies, but I think it might be more fun to just kind of have new experiences with these.
Animated Robin Hood was one of the ones she was mulling
over?
Yeah,
the animated Robin Hood. Yeah.
That's my favorite as a kid, the animated Robin Hood.
You got
and,
some great
we talked. John was with my family, and my brothers and I were all talking about how we listened to the record of it when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we didn't
have the VHS. We had the record of the whole movie. Not the soundtrack, but the like actual movie as a record.
That's funny.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I think on the list there was The Fugitive and Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Okay.
Yeah, those are all great. Yeah. And like you've said, I've seen all of them. So I love your picks. I've never really watched any surfing movies not called Surf's Up.
yeah.
So,
they're good.
But,
they're all really different.
Well, yeah, except, I mean, Back to the Beach. I've seen it, but it's been, it's probably been 30 years. It's probably been 30 years since I've seen Back to the Beach. But
I want to say I've heard you quote it on the podcast before, so that I knew you'd seen it.
It's possible. It's ingrained into my childhood. And probably you heard me complaining about Annette not being in Annette Funicello movie. I might have brought up Back to the Beach, because this is hands down the best Annette Funicello movie. So there
you go.
Is it
the best Annette movie?
We'll discuss that.
Okay.
Yes, the answer is yes. So... Okay.
Katie,
I'm going to go get my hair helmet ready. Huh?
Well, really quick, you know, Katie, as long as you're on the phone, you said you had some year-end.
Yeah, you wanted people to call in, and I didn't call in because I knew you guys would be calling me.
Yeah. So, what were you going to say? Do you have some year-end special,
What were the categories you wanted, like... the best movie,
best movie, best surprise movie, just whatever, you know. I know you're probably going to mention how much you like enjoyed watching Annette, because we watched Annette together.
We watched Annette before it was a podcast movie.
Yeah.
And then I refused to watch it again.
John asked you to watch it a second time. Oh, I see.
I wouldn't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. You did the work.
I think overall, my favorite movie that you guys watched this year would be The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And I liked Sliding Doors, so I liked that Brooke chose it for hers, because it was probably on my list of movies for mine.
Can I ask you...
Even though you guys didn't really like it.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. And I can't remember if I've asked you this before, but what do you think of the guy... the love interest in Sliding Doors, because...
I know you ask me this every time it comes up, because you hate him, and I like him, he's fine.
Okay. Right, I don't think he's like me at all, so, you know.
My least favorite movie was Highlander
2. Highlander 2.
But I think that's part of it, is I hadn't seen Highlander 1, so we watched them back-to-back.
Oh.
And neither of them were great.
I love Highlander.
My favorite episode was listening to the Cortese brothers talk about Young Girls of Rochefort.
I was worried.
I was so impressed.
They got into it. They did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah, especially after the ones that they picked.
Yeah, they pick the testosterone, the high flying action films, and then they like settled in for a good conversation on 1960s French musicals. So
yeah.
So good
and
for
I
them.
Loved watching it, and I loved hearing them talk about it. It was so much fun. And so, like, I binged listened to a lot of the episodes of the podcast, but I also watch most of the movies with John, and I think my favorite part of watching these movies is, so this will be a spoiler, but
well, we will have already talked about it, I think.
I know, it'll be on the podcast after, yeah. But it'll be for Roy, is that I've never seen John laugh as hard in my life as when Heidi got hit in the butt with the goat. He laughed so hard, and then he rewound it twice and watched it again.
John has a history of enjoying movies where there's violence towards women, such as Soylent Green.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess
good list. Funny. Thanks.
I didn't even make it laugh like that.
Oh man, yeah, no, I can't wait to talk about Heidi. But by the way, I feel a little guilty. We'll wait until we're talking about the normal podcast stuff. But I do feel guilty about Heidi. But anyway, we'll get there. Mm. Yeah. We will. We have already gotten there. You've heard it.
Oh, you've heard it already. This is old news. Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah.
Cool. Any?
So yeah. Young Girls of Rochefort. That was my
your favorite movie. Young Girls of Rochefort.
Yeah,
that's a good movie. That's a good movie. We've been trying to convince your nephew-in-law to put on a production of Young Girls of Rochefort in the high school.
Yeah, he's a theater teacher.
Yeah,
at the Bear Lake, and we think he should do that as his play.
That wouldn't that be amazing if the Bear Lake High School did this French musical
with a murder mystery in it too. So, yeah,
which we're still concerned about. But, oh well. Okay. All right, Katie.
Okay.
We will talk to you. You're going to be so sick of us in a few weeks when we talk. You're already half sick of me, I know. And I know you prefer Roy as a host to me. But you'll be sick of him too, so just look forward to it, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, you and I are going to get to pick movies for the category, the podcast after yours.
I get to pick.
Yeah, unless something drastic changes in the next hour, it sounds like we're doing the Cassandra Conundrum films, and I've already got mine. I already know exactly what movie I'm picking, but there's some good ones out there.
Yeah.
So, start thinking about it.
Yeah, Katie, you have yours, right? We were talking about this.
By the way, Katie, if we had done The Lone Man in the Wilderness, I think I would have forced us to watch The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams on YouTube.
Ooh.
There's an out the hour and 40 minute long movie is on YouTube. That's where you can find it. So, but anyway,
that's another funny because the one I was going to choose was like a obscure documentary movie.
Yeah, which would have been really crazy. That it was that that thing you were showing me about that 60-year-old man who just built a city in the woods.
No, he built a cabin in Alaska and lives there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So. Or Jeremiah Johnson.
That'd be good.
Oh, Jeremiah Johnson. Yeah, no, 100%. I would have pushed that in the polls real hard. I'm a big fan of Jeremiah Johnson. But I think we also, it would have been fun to have watched James Franco bite off his arm.
Yeah. That's I like that movie. I do.
I threatened John with the rock climbing one, too. He said no.
Right. I didn't. Well, you were talking about Free Solo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really good movie. It just freaks me out and makes me anxious, and I start pulling my hair out and stuff like that. So,
how that happened? Okay.
It's good, but you know. Okay. All right, girl.
All right.
I hope you don't regret this. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay.
Bye, Katie. Thank you.
Bye, Roy.
That's that. Okay, so she had a bunch of other stuff to say at the end, and hopefully we can get this edited and put together. Okay.
I'm glad that you get to do that.
Yeah,
so,
that's fine.
Yeah, pretty exciting. We haven't had anyone who decided to go all in on surfing movies. In fact, I don't think we've seen a single surfing movie, but we're about to see three of them. I would argue Back to the Beach maybe isn't... There's not an enormous amount of surfing going on in Back to the Beach.
That's all I remember about Back to the Beach, though.
Okay, but Back to the Beach is so good. So my mom would be so happy. And Josh, when you listen to this podcast, can you believe it? We're watching Back to the Beach. So,
Anyway, Big Wednesday. You know who's in Big Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. It's Jake Busey's father, the great Gary Busey.
Well, no. Jan Michael Vincent.
Oh, Jan Michael Vincent. That's who you're excited about. Okay.
Holy cow, yeah. So we've got Gary Busey and Ator, so it's going to be so good.
Ator, yes. He keeps coming back. That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah, we still have to watch the Ator Green Knight movie from 1984.
All right. Excuse me. So, yeah, so those would be great. So come January, we'll watch those with Katie. And then Katie is stuck in doing some community service with us. And John, Katie is kind of an outdoors girl, right?
Yes, very.
Okay, yeah, so she was kind of hoping to do the Person Alone in the Wilderness movies, but that has been voted down, lost by one vote. So Ammon gave us a category, Cassandra Conundrum Films, movies about a warning that gets ignored. So this is interesting, because I think when we talked to Ammon about it, we're like, okay, can you think of that many movies? And obviously...
Oh, were you there?
Yes.
Oh, I think my AirPods just died.
Yeah, your AirPods died, but now I hear you on the other microphone.
It's just the computer speaker.
Oh, yeah, it sounds okay.
Well, whatever. Okay, this is how you're going to do it. So, okay. So, anyway, we thought maybe it would just be a lot of horror movies, but there's kind of a whole genre of ignored scientists, right?
Okay.
Yeah, but so I do have a movie that I 100% have in mind, but I'm also going to kind of... I'm going to throw into the poll Jaws.
Okay, that's fair. Now, okay, but don't we still have another podcast before that's determined, or do we decide right now?
Not right now. Voting will happen as soon as you post this Christmas podcast. We'll start voting. And so,
but it's definitely Cassandra Conundrum. The voting for that is over.
Yes, the voting for that is over.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I don't understand how democracy works. I still haven't gotten this system out. Yeah. I don't understand.
It's pretty complicated. So, yeah. Also, you're thinking of other movies like Jurassic Park, right?
Sure. Yeah. Did anybody say in speaking of Jurassic Park? Did anybody say, you know, hey, the robots are going to rise up and kill people in Westworld?
Oh man, that's a good question. See, that's a problem with some of these categories, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Westworld is very similar to Jurassic Park. It's kind of the same story.
Yeah, was there anyone who was sounding the cry of warning in Westworld? That's a good question. I don't know.
Hmm. Now, one thing that might be interesting is the Man Alone in the Wilderness movies. Usually those are met with someone saying, maybe you shouldn't go out to the wilderness.
So you can, if you can find one like that, then go for it. So maybe, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what we're doing. So we'll create a poll and think about some movies. Well, you'll see the poll maybe before. No, if you jump on this podcast, you'll hear it before I create the poll. But anyway, movies where someone warns of a future catastrophe if plans aren't changed or whatever, right? So that's what we're doing. And then after that, there's no new category to vote on because we know that Eric K. is bringing us three movies.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
That's it.
All right. We're future business out. I think that's it for 2021.
Yep.
Okay.
John, this was such a fun year to podcast. I'm glad we kept a pretty strict schedule, which meant that we did this really regularly, right? So you guys, I think, got 27 podcasts this year.
Yeah. I think
my math.
If there's one, we're not really proud of the quality of the podcast, but we're really proud of the scheduling. Like, I think that's the best thing that we've done with the podcast. So that's mostly Roy. Yeah, well, I'm just not saying anything because I don't want it to end, but alas, it has to end. That's it for 2021, yours, mine, and theirs.
Yep.
I'm John, I'm saying goodbye.
Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Roy.
I'm so sore in my armpit, like if you look at my armpit wrong, it hurts.
Really? That sucks. Yeah, no, I just have... Did you... See, I did Pfizer before, and I did Moderna this time, and it's... I just feel the achy muscles, mostly, and some nausea and stuff, you know?
You can't cross the streams, John.
You can't?